protects. And after fighting to the end, you will still hold your ground. So stand ready with the truth as the belt tight around your waist, with righteousness as your breastplate, and as your shoes, the readiness to announce the good news of peace. At all times, carry faith as a shield, for with it you will be able to put out all burning arrows shot by the evil one, and accept salvation as a helmet, and the word of God as the sword which the Spirit gives to you. Do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. For this reason, keep alert and never give up. Pray always for all God's people.
Thanks, Judy. Good morning, everyone. My name's Mark Fisher, and yes, my pleasure to bring the sermon to you today. It's always, I don't know why Andrew keeps asking me, but he does. So I hope today is, okay. It's just, church is it's a very special place, and it really is truly is a privilege to be here and to stand up and say a few words, and I just hope that they are okay. I think we should start in prayer, though. Dear Lord, thank you that we can worship in peace. Thank you that you are among us all in all our daily lives. Thank you that you guide and comfort us. And may these words be your words. Amen. When I first came here, there was actually no one sitting in the middle. And I thought, oh, well, they must have heard I was coming. But that's all right. And normally I have a few supporters here from my whānau. But my son's on his way to Hastings for a hockey tournament. Hannah's working. My mother-in-law's, I think she's in Canada now. Yeah. And my mum's at home sick, but thankfully Dad's here and my wife is here, so we've got a couple of extras, thank you. All right. So life is difficult sometimes. It's difficult to go to work and face your annoying co-workers. It's difficult to go to church. It's difficult to go to church and hear how much you're failing God. It's difficult to face the mountain of dishes on the bench. It's difficult to like your kids because they're just so demanding. It's difficult to just get out of bed sometimes. Life is difficult. It never was actually meant to be easy. Ever since Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, life actually has been difficult. That original sin drove a wedge between human nature and God's nature, and we're prone to failing God. And the only one who can remove that wedge or that barrier is our Lord Jesus Christ. Life is a battle, a constant fight between good and evil. God is our general, guiding us on the path to victory, and Jesus is the mightiest of all warriors with a shining sword of truth and light, and we're called to follow him into the breach. I don't mean to alarm you, but we're in the midst of a spiritual battle. There are dark forces at work, trying to make us stray from the true path of the Lord. Paul says, "For we are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age." Wow, that all sounds pretty dramatic and frightening. I must confess, I really don't understand too much about spiritual warfare. I know there are forces at work that we cannot see. I know that we're tempted and our lives are perilous at times, but that it can be hard to see day to day as we go about the business of living. Stuff just happens and we can never be sure of how or why, and the simple fact remains, bad things happen to good people, so we need to be prepared. As a uni student, I read several of the Frank Peretti books. Many of you will know them. They personify angels and demons and try to show how they affect the lives of the characters in the books. They demonstrate how the spiritual world shapes us as humans. The demons have names like greed, envy, and gluttony. It's kind of weird to think that's a pizza menu now. Times have changed. I could preach on the perils of hell pizza too, but I guess not today. Now, in the books, the angels are fighting the good fight and are energized by the power of prayer. And it's a world I don't truly understand, but I know it's there. I know it influences us, causes us to make bad judgments, and I know equally that the forces of good are there to help us as well. The near misses and small graces that we all experience are part of a wider spiritual battle that's going on around us. Most of the time we're completely unaware, but it's there. Paul warns us about the spiritual warfare, but he also calls us to be prepared to fight against the evil one and his brethren. In the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul talks about what we have as Christians, and the last three are about what we should do then in response to these gifts. In verse 10, Paul says, "Finally, build up your strength in union with the Lord." And this is a battle cry, a call to arms. Paul is urging the Ephesians and all of us as Christians into action. A battle cry is designed to get the blood pumping and the hearts racing, but more than that, in this case, it's supposed to spur us into taking up arms against the evil one. I love the imagery in our reading, and let's examine it a little closer. In the first verse, it's very clear that we're called to respond to these dark forces by God's almighty power. And it's not through our strength, but that of the Lord. Paul tells us to put on all the armour that God gives us. Now, what is armour? Armour provides protection from the weapons of our enemies. Using the word armour implies that it's something you put on. You prepare yourself for battle. No one walks into battle without some form of protection and weapons. So what does Paul say that we need to use in this spiritual warfare? Firstly, we have truth as a belt around. You have truth as a belt around your waist. In warships, belt armor is a heavy layer of armor plated onto or within the hull, designed to prevent projectiles from penetrating the interior. In ancient times, a belt of armor was wide, and it was used to protect the abdomen of the wearer. And wearing the belt tight also keeps your core strong. And of course, a belt held your scabbard for your sword, and in the 90s you clipped your cell phone onto it. Paul calls us to put on the belt of truth. And what is this truth? Truth is a universal topic in the Bible. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the light." The truth is that God is the only one who can save us. Knowing this truth not only gives us protection from harm, but it also gives us hope. Who wants to go into battle without hope? Without hope, the battle is already lost. Professional sports teams worldwide spend millions of dollars on sports psychology because a team with the belief that they will lose will fulfill that prophecy. Thankfully, the converse of that is true too. A team with collective self-belief can be unstoppable, and Paul calls us to be unstoppable for God. Next, Paul says we're to arm ourselves with righteousness as our breastplate. A breastplate is designed to protect the chest of the wearer. When I think of a breastplate as protecting your physical heart. Using Paul's imagery, then, it's not such a leap to imagine that this breastplate is protecting your spiritual heart as well. Now, the concept of righteousness in its simplest form is an ethic of conduct, meaning that we make choices worthy of our Lord and Father. Throughout the ages, all warriors have adhered to a code. It's a set of rules that they must uphold to remain in the fold of their brothers. And this honour drives warriors to remain true and faithful to this strict code of conduct. Straying from that code of conduct means straying from your fellows and those who will protect you, even lay down their lives for you in battle. In the 11th century, medieval knights lived by what was popularised as the medieval code of chivalry. And it goes something like this: "Thou shalt believe all that the church teaches, and shalt observe all its directions. Thou shalt defend the church. Thou shalt respect all weaknesses and shall constitute thyself the defender of them. Thou shalt love the country in which thou wast born. It's hard to read this stuff. Thou shalt not recoil before the enemy. Thou shalt not make war against the infidel without Thou shalt make war against the infidel without cessation and without mercy. Thou shalt perform scrupulously thy feudal duties, if they be not contrary to the laws of God. Thou shalt never lie and shalt remain faithful to thy pledged word. Thou shalt be generous and give largesse to everyone. Largesse is generosity with money. And thou shalt be everywhere and always the champion of the right and the good against injustice and evil. I don't wish to ignore the fact that countless atrocities against Muslims were performed in the name of this code. There's probably a whole sermon in that, just one point alone. What I do wish to highlight, though, is that in breaking this code, a knight risks everything, including his life. And we have a code of ethics. It's called the Bible. We can spend a lifetime trying to understand it in entirety, but the simple truth remains. As Christians, we're called to follow God and his true path, to remain righteous. Philippians 3 verse 9 says, I no longer have a righteousness of my own, the kind that is gained by obeying the law. I now have the righteousness that is given through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is based in faith. How true do you remain to that path of righteousness? I remember when I was about 8 or 9, I was riding my bike with some of my friends after school, and we were riding over a ledge on our driveway. It was sloped, so one end was high and the other one wasn't very high. And we were jumping off the low end. And I told my friends that I'd jumped off the high end before. And they were impressed, but I'm not sure they actually believed me. And I'm thankful for small mercies, because the time had come for them to go home, so I didn't actually have to prove it. And after they left, I continued riding around on my bike, and it bugged me that I'd lied to my friends. I'd never actually jumped off that ledge on my bike, and I'm not sure if it was bravery, it was probably folly, but I decided to ride over the high end. And suffice to say that I ended up in a pile on the ground with a bent wheel on my bike, a ripped shirt, a grazed knee, and severely dented pride. And I learnt that it's actually truly a terrible thing to lie to your friends. And from that day forward, I tried my very best not to lie to my friends, especially about trying to do things with my bike. And I can't say that I never lied again, but I did always try to tell the truth. And that was a kind of code, I guess. I guess that I tried to remain true to it. And God calls us to stay on that path of righteousness and remain true to everyone we come across in our lives. And next, we're called to have as our shoes the readiness to announce the good news of peace. What does that mean? When I pondered this for myself, I thought about what shoes do for us. They protect our feet and allow us to travel paths that are sometimes difficult, sometimes even dangerous. It's pretty important to have the right shoes for the job. A couple of years ago, we walked the Tongariro crossing with Andrew and Mitchell Wong too, and it was awful weather. It was summer, but it was really wet and cold. And there was one guy I noticed who had jandals, and several others with sandals and socks. I think that's a European thing, to wear sandals and socks. And apart from it seeming pretty uncool to me, they just didn't have the right footwear for the job. And there was another guy who was using a supermarket bag as a plastic ones, because it was back in the days when you could have plastic ones. He was using a supermarket bag as a kind of hat to keep off the rain. And I didn't see any of them at the end of our walk, but I imagine their journey was pretty hard. In this case, though, I believe Paul's calling us to be ready to share the good news of Christ. And then we find that so hard sometimes, don't we? We can be afraid to share the good news for fear of what the other person might say to us, for fear of being belittled or shunned. God calls us to be ready to take those steps and tell others of the love of Christ. Luke 12, verses 8 to 9 says, I assure you that those who declare publicly that they belong to me, the Son of Man, will do... I assure you that those who declare publicly that they belong to me, the Son of Man, will do the same for them before the angels of God. But those who reject me publicly, the Son of Man will also reject them before the angels of God. And that can be so much easier said than done. And I admire those amongst us who are always ready and willing to proclaim the love of Christ. It's not so hard within these walls amongst friends and out there, but in the world, it's really hard to tell. You know, it's a whole other story. I'm sure most of us have a denial of Jesus story. Maybe not to the same extreme as Peter, but then it's highly unlikely that our life was threatened at the time. And I can think of many times when I should have stood up for God our Father, but I was too ashamed or afraid. And thankfully, God is a loving and forgiving Father, and thankfully we're allowed to learn from our mistakes. You know, we need to be sure of our footing. The shoes of readiness to announce the good news of peace are figurative, of course, but they encourage us to take action and to step forward into the world and to proclaim the saving grace of Christ. And we need to trust in the Lord to do that. And that leads us to carrying faith as a shield to put out all the burning arrows shot by the evil one. So what is faith? What are the burning arrows of the evil one? The word faith is both noun and verb. The Oxford English Dictionary describes faith as complete trust in someone or something, and strong belief in doctrines of a religion based on spiritual conviction rather than proof. Faith is believing without seeing. And the flaming arrows of the evil one are all those things that cause us to doubt and stray from God. From every direction, these arrows can be flying at us. And I like the imagery, though. Arrows are shot from afar. Hopefully a safe distance from the return fire of your enemies. In warfare, they were often used to thin out the enemy. And they may not have killed everyone, but they certainly would slow down the attack. And the evil one is constantly taking pot shots at us, hoping to injure and maim us, to slow us down, to prevent us from attacking the evil head on. And faith is the shield that protects us from those pot shots. If we have faith in the Lord and put our trust in him, he will protect us. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and he will show you the right way. And then is one of my favourite verses, 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'm sure lots of you will know this one. Every test that you have experienced is the kind that normally comes to people, but God keeps his promise, and he will not allow you to be tested beyond your power to remain firm. At the time you are put to the test, he will give you the strength to endure it, and so provide you with a way out. Faith teaches us that God will give us the strength to remain firm. Even under the most difficult of circumstances, God will provide. And next, Paul tells us to accept salvation as a helmet. So what is salvation? Salvation is being saved or protected from harm. And Jesus, of course, is our salvation. He endured a hideous death on the cross, and that most famous of verses, John 13:16, for God so loved the world so much that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. And I don't think we should lose sight of the fact that a helmet protects your head. Your head contains your thoughts, your mind. Your mind is who you are, what you are. And putting on the helmet of salvation speaks to me as keeping the salvation of Jesus foremost in our thoughts. We're saved because of him. Whenever we go into battle, we need to remind ourselves of that constantly. And then Paul tells us to arm ourselves with the word of God as the sword. A sword is used not only to defend yourself, but also to, obviously, to attack your enemy. And the word of the God is the Bible. And this is what we use to defeat our enemies. Everything else is used to protect us, but the word is used to counter the attack of the enemy. And I think Hebrews 4:12 is an extremely appropriate verse for the topic of the day. The word is God, alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts all the way through to where soul and spirit meet, to where joints and marrow come together. It judges the desires of the heart. The word of God cuts right through our enemies and exposing them for who they really are. I take that as meaning the word of God teaches us to recognize our enemies, to root them out. When they are hidden, they can ambush us, but if they are visible, they cannot inflict anywhere near as much damage. And there's the saying that the pen is mightier than the sword. And this was coined by a British author, Edward Bulwer-Lytton, in 1839. What he was indicating by this statement was that communication, and in this case written, is a more effective tool than direct violence. Words are powerful. They can cut us down and reduce us to tears if we let them. Now, more than that, though, a sword's actually no use to us if we don't know how to wield it. A soldier can't just turn up lunging and parrying and hoping for the best. In order to survive, a soldier must practice and practice so that his or her movements are sure and decisive. The enemy will cower when they see his or her prowess with the sword. And so what does that tell us about the word of God? Then if we're to use it like a sword, we need to know the Bible and we need to know its teachings. Joshua 1:8 says, "Be sure that the book of the law is always read in your worship. Study it day and night and make sure you obey everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful." We don't have the physical embodiment of Jesus. We weren't there to experience his ministry. We can't touch his hands and feet, but we do have the Bible. The words contained in this most incredible of books has the power to save us all. The word has power beyond that which any of us can comprehend. And what's the most amazing thing about it all? The power is ours if we want it. And Paul finishes with this line: "Do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. For this reason, keep alert and never give up. Pray always for God's people." We only have victory through prayer, constant communication with God. The armor of God cannot help us if we don't ask for God's help. And I chose this passage to speak on today because when I read it, I feel really empowered. I read it and it makes me feel strong. It's encouraging. I love watching war movies and post-apocalyptic flicks, and it's not the gore or the special effects that I like, but the triumph over adversity. Everyone likes to feel that they can overcome the trials of their lives, and this scripture gives us that. You can read this and you feel like some kind of superhero. Jesus, of course, was the ultimate superhero, but he had no kryptonite or dark brooding history. He was victorious over death because he was pure, free from sin. God in human form, all we are and more than all of us together. And I want to finish with a clip. Truth be told, I'm a little worried. I'm told by my kids constantly how terrible my choices in music. I don't really understand anything other than 80s rock. And I know how, Dad, you must have felt, because the music my kids listen to is just trash. And sorry, I'm digressing. I came across this song a few months ago, and it inspired me to write this sermon. If the music doesn't grab you, I'm sure the lyrics will. And this is a song called Warrior by Hannah Kerr. She's an American Christian musician who was born in 1997, and I just realized that I turned 25 in 1997. Now, I'm actually just going to sit down for a couple of minutes while the clip plays, because otherwise I'll feel a bit awkward. And I might even start singing or maybe do an interpretive dance, and that would not be good. So I hope you see some merit in my sharing this with you. Thanks, Jeremy.
Staring down the face of fear, gotta keep breathing. When the negative is all you hear, gotta keep believing. Cause in the dark there is a light, truth that keeps on burning.
Yes, I hope we got something out of there. So with God on our side, all our enemies will fail, for he's already won the victory over death, and we all get to share that prize. We're all called to fight the good fight in the name of the Lord Jesus, wherever that may be, in our homes, in our workplaces, or even if that battle is in our minds, an eternal struggle. God sees it all away, and he gives us all the armour and the weapons we need. So my plea to you is to go out there and to do the good work of the Lord. Amen.